What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials. Happy Thursday. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. I am joined by the most beautiful, gorgeous girly of all time. What is this glam that we're looking at?
Hello, Jacqueline. Happy Thursday, everyone. Yes, I look stunning. I've been up since the crack of dawn. Me and Ben, I literally just got home 4 seconds ago. We filmed an episode of The Good Dish on CBS, and the episode airs next week. I'll make sure everyone knows when it airs. We were doing like spritz cocktails. It was really fun, and it was just really early, so that's why I'm in like full glam.
You look so beautiful. So since it was a spritz-related episode, did you drink that early in the morning?
I did, and we were making like grapefruit tequila cocktails, and they were like really good. So I'm a little lit. I'm a little tired. I'm gorgeous as fuck. And I think it's a pretty good way to start the Thursday. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it's Thursday. This is my second to last show. And that's a lot. That's a lot. Tear. I've been thinking about it. Tear. I know I'm really, even though with every day this week, like my battery, my human battery is literally like on zero. Mm-hmm. And I slept really poorly last night. It's as if I didn't sleep at all. So I'm just like running on fumes. So even though I'm like ready to take the break, and I don't know how much more I can give, I am going to miss you guys dearly.
Us? We're shy. Us?
You. I really am. I mean, I love the toast so much. I mean, I guess tomorrow I'll say my farewells, even though it's literally 1 month I calm down.
Yeah.
But I love doing the show, and I'm really going to miss it. And I'm excited for this next chapter, and this next chapter includes toast thoroughly.
Of course.
But it's just things are changing, you know, and it's been a nice 4 years as they were.
Oh, don't say that. You
no,
don't
no,
make,
no,
like
make as
it
they,
seem like
as they were like we had four like but then things change, you know.
Yeah, just don't, they're not going to change too much, right?
No. But like I'm changing.
You are changing,
you know.
You're not a girl, not yet a woman.
We're all changing. So I'm excited for what this next chapter brings. And it's also crazy to think about the fact that aside from like a few months that I got off, like around April, like I've really been in lockdown for 2 years. And I really look forward to emerging and having other things to talk about other than like being in my home.
TV and piano and knitting and stuff.
No, but like 2 years worth of podcasting every day with really no fucking life.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a marvel.
Right.
It's a marvel.
It's that it is a marvel.
So I'm excited to have a life again and to be able to share that with you and do what we do.
Well, let's not be sad, okay? Let's be happy. We've got a great show for everyone. We've got the Fast Five. We've got Real Housewives of Orange County recap. So there's tons of content, and let's just not be sad.
Who's sad? We're just remarking on the time that we're in. We are acknowledging the space that we're in. And isn't that what we always promise to do?
Yeah, but you're just like remarking and acknowledging on like something sad that like you're leaving for a month. So,
well, you get a month off. You get to tour. You get to see all the toasters. You get to see this great country. Like, what's bad?
No, nothing's bad. And reminder, tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour in case anyone had forgotten.
I actually needed to know something about your tour, and I was like, I could text you, or I could go to girlwithnojob.com/tour and get the information that I need, which I did, and it was extremely helpful.
Literally, anytime someone's like, when is your LA show? I'm like, just give me 1 second, girlwithnojob.com. I use my own website as my schedule. It's like my calendar.
Yeah, no, that's how I use it to keep track of you, too. I'm like, where would she be on this day?
People are like, you want to plan a trip for the first week of April? I'm like, let me just go to girlwithnojob.com/tour first.
That's funny. Well, Also, I caught up on The Gilded Age. I think that you did too.
Mm-hmm.
So we could recap that at the end because it's really a beautifully done, nice show. Like the opening credits
are stunning.
Stunning. I will never be skipping that intro ever.
And the third episode really amped up some of the drama. Like it got crazy at the end.
Yeah. So I'm excited to recap that. It's really hard to watch week to week, but you do what you do. And I mean, it would have been nice, like back in the day, if we had watched Downton week to week and we could have been a part of the Downton conversation. So it's cool to, you know, experience
be a part
it
of
that
something.
Way. To be a part of something. Exactly.
So yeah. Oh, today also my episode on Sophia's podcast dropped. Sophia with an F. She was on The Toast yesterday. The reception was so positive. I'm so glad. And then I did her podcast, which airs today. So check that out.
I started listening to it this morning while I was getting ready, but I haven't gotten to your segment yet. I started from the top, and so I'm really excited about that. It was so far so good, and I'm excited to hear what you ladies chat about.
I don't even remember. That was like that day was such a blur, so maybe I need to listen to it again also to remind myself of how funny and charismatic I was.
According to this description, you talk about Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, I do, yeah.
That's so, I'll never stop laughing at Say Yes to the Dress content.
I'm so glad like someone's enjoying it, my trauma.
I mean, everyone's enjoying it. It was just on, it just aired the other day.
Yeah, it just re-aired, which like is really a trigger point for me.
I'm sorry, but we all enjoy it.
I'm glad that everyone can, you know, laugh at me.
Yeah, laugh at your pain.
Yeah, pretty much. For sure. Pretty much.
Okay, well, we could jump right in if you have nothing else that you want to share with the class on this beautiful Thursday.
No,
I just want to launch right in.
Yeah, I'm good. Are you good?
I'm good. Yeah, we have some good stories. So I think without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by The Pill Club. Do you need to renew your birth control prescription? Switch your birth control? Maybe try it for the first time? Whether you know the brand you want or you want help finding the best option, The Pill Club medical team has your back. The Pill Club offers birth control subscriptions prescribed by a medical professional and delivered straight to your door for free. They offer over 120 FDA-approved brands, and they ship to all 50 states. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, the prices start as low as $7 a month without insurance. The Pill Club delivers birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging along with fun self-care gifts and goodies. And right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/toast, The Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Morning Toast listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. That's thepillclub.com/toast to get your first birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Remember, that's thepillclub.com/toast, and you must use that link to make the donation go through. And today's episode is also brought to you by Manscaped. Roses are red, violets are blue. We love to shave balls. How about you? Valentine's Day is coming, and we know the gift to give the special someone for any and all occasions. This Valentine's Day, it's time to give him a gift that 4 million men worldwide trust from Manscaped, who are the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. And of course, we've got a special offer. When you go to manscaped.com and use code TOAST, you can get 20% off and free shipping. So we've got tons of Manscaped products in our house. Ben loves them. We have the Performance Package 4.0. It's really the gift that every guy needs in their life to make each and every day just a little more special. The product he's going to love in this package is the Lawnmower 4.0. It's like their electric trimmer, and it's designed to trim the hair on loose skin, if you know what I mean. And their advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on his delicate areas, like his balls. It even has a 4,000K LED light, so we can shave anywhere your heart desires. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower, in the sink. It's really kind of everything of the sort. They have tons of other products, too, like really great travel cases and different types of serums. And also, they have boxer briefs. So everything Manscaped makes is just, like, perfect for the man in your life. It's a really cute gift for Valentine's Day. And if you go to manscaped.com, our exclusive offer of 20% off and free shipping is with the code TOAST. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. Gift his Cupid an arrow from Manscaped this Valentine's Day. His balls will thank you. Manscaped.com, code TOAST.
That's the perfect Valentine's Day gift. Look no further. This Agreed. Call off the search. It's Manscaped.
Yeah, it's over.
Okay, our first story, some big news. Kim Kardashian is on the cover of Vogue this month, which is always a huge deal, especially I feel like we all feel how big of a deal it is for her. Even though it's happened now a number of times, It's just always very exciting. She says, I've chosen myself, and now she's taking us inside her new world. The photos are stunning. I'm sure everyone saw the photos of the kids styled by North being the cutest fucking campers. And the interview, there's some, you know, highlights that people are sharing. She's talking about her 40s. She said, quote, my 40s are about being team me. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to work out. I'm going to have more fun, spend more time with my kids and the people who make me happy. And I feel like that's exactly what we're seeing from Kim in the last year and going forward. And other than that, I mean, the interview was like a little boring.
There wasn't like any bombshell. She didn't even acknowledge like Pete, but it was just kind of, it's really just like a benchmark of where she is in her life right now. Like, first of all, the pictures were stunning. She looked gorgeous, and I loved that she had the kids in them. The little anecdote that it was styled by North was one of the cutest things of all time. The pictures of the kids are so sick. Her kids are gorgeous, like really stunning. And yeah, while the interview definitely was like lackluster, I feel like it's really evident of where she is in her life right now. Like, we've been seeing her, and like what she described for like the season that she's in her life in this article is exactly how I perceive it. Like, she's so authentic. She really is just like putting herself first for the first time in so long. I feel like it was always like Kanye and the kids and her family and just like her career. And now it's like she just wants to enjoy being a mom, being a businesswoman, like being a queen. And I feel that radiating from her aura.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to say, like, the interview with Zach Lester, like, not for any fault of Kim's, just like from the interviewer's point of view, like sharing with us like anecdotes and like, you know, the way that these centerfold stories are often written, it's like just so cliche sometimes, like seeing her in her natural habitat, like you would never guess this is the most famous woman in the world. It's like, how many fucking times are we going to read that about a person, especially
right? It's almost like celebrities are people too.
Yeah, no, and that's always like where they go with it. And not that I was like expecting like a blockbuster article, but again, like really no new information from the Kardashian front for the stans. Maybe for people who are like regular people who don't, you know, live up Kim's butt. But for those of us who do, it's like, we know all of these things, that Kim is like the nicest person, that she's so sweet, on time,
hardworking.
Like, so, yeah, like we've been known.
We've been known 100%, those of us who permanently reside up her tuchus. Courtney was quoted in the article quite a bit. It was cute. I mean, I love to see Kim on the cover of Vogue. I think her journey with Vogue has been so interesting. Like, her first Vogue cover, which was like widely criticized, was her and Kanye. I don't know who did her makeup, but they should be fired immediately. Like, there was so much, and there was a whole episode on it, remember, in the Kardashians?
Yeah.
And now this is just like her, I don't know how many times, but it's been many. And I'm just so proud of her. Like, I just love her.
Yeah, I think every time that she gets the cover of US Vogue, it's an achievement. And I also don't think there is a higher honor in the fashion world. So we'll just keep doing it.
Right, no, and I think just from like a market, like, I know there's, you know, really like snobbish people in fashion who are like, Kim on the cover of Vogue, oh my God. God, clutching their pearls. But from a marketing perspective, like, homegirl is selling way more copies than anyone else, and there's a reason she's the most famous person in the world. So I love it.
Love it. Happy for her. Like, you know how happy this makes her, and that makes the fans really happy. So we always love to get Kim content, and we got fam stuff too, so it's all good.
And she's wearing Skims, which is just so great for her billion-dollar brand. But billions. When you think about, like, billions, when you think about Kim always talks about, you know, when she went to the Met Gala for the first time, she was Kanye's plus one. Like, she like was a guest, and she like was not welcome really, and Kanye was really the one who like introduced her to the fashion world, and now she like literally runs it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, speaking of Kanye, that's a great segue into our next story, because Kanye and Julia Fox are rumored to be in an open relationship. And also, Julia Fox was on Call Her Daddy this week. I hadn't had a chance to watch it until yesterday, and I have so many thoughts and assessments on this girl who I really like did not know. First of all, I'm cracking up because when she first came on the scene, we were like, this would be like if Snitch started dating Kanye, like this like toasty girl.
Right.
No. Influencer. No, that's not it. That's not who she is. She is not, I mean, I had no preconceived notions of her, but if I had to describe her, first of all, I think she looks a lot like Michelle Trachtenberg. And yes. Given that, she is the real life version of Georgina from Gossip Girl. Like, her her upbringing. Like, she's born and bred in New York, like, started going to clubs at 14, like, committing crimes, doing drugs, all of these things. Like, she is Georgina. Like, I couldn't make it. I couldn't separate the two. Mm-hmm. And she has just lived, like, this extremely intense, extreme artistic life. And I feel like what she's doing now with Kanye is, like, the role she was born to play. I don't know how Kanye found, like, how these two found each other, because they're so well matched in the sense of what they're trying to do. And I know that, like, they're in a relationship, but, like, I really... And she was asked, like, what do you think about people who say that this relationship is fake? And she said, you know, time will tell, which but is also,
people,
like...
Do people think the relationship is fake? I don't. I haven't heard
I
that.
I don't think that they're, like, in love or falling in love.
No, me neither, but I don't think this is, like, a staged relationship.
I think this is, like, performance art. Based on, like, everything that she was saying, like, I think for Kanye, like, he loves having, like, a muse. She's so, like, interesting to look at, and she's so fashion, and she's been fashion, and she's been art, and that's her, like, career trajectory, and she's an actress, so she's just, like, playing this role. Mm-hmm. And I think that works really well for Kanye, because he gets to, like, flex his fashion muscles, and he loves doing that. He did it with Kim, and mm-hmm. he did it with Amber Rose. And I think for her, like, being in this sort of, like, almost, it's almost like an improv thing, you know, is exactly
it's role-playing.
It's role-playing, and that's, like, a lot of what she did before she was an actress. Like, she was a dominatrix, which she was explaining was how, mm-hmm. like, she got her start in acting, because you're really just, like, putting on a persona. A show. So I think, like, being Kanye's muse and, like, stepping out the way that they are is everything that, like, she's done in her life put together as well. So, like, the acting, the fashion, the art, the intensity, like, I don't see these two. And I don't even think for one second the way she was talking about him, didn't sound like butterflies in the air or anything. Just like, this is an extremely cool experience. Uh-huh. They do call each other boyfriend and girlfriend, but I just think they're in a business together.
I know what you mean. It's like a really mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah. And I think they both think it's so cool. They think the other is so cool. They have a lot of respect for the other person. And I'm sure that they do, like, hang out one-on-one and have a nice time. But I don't think that they're, like, head over heels in love mm-hmm. or anything like that. And she didn't say that they were. She didn't say that they weren't. But that's the vibe I'm getting, that this is, like, you know, live performance art.
And what did she have to say about Kim?
So she talked a bit about, like, how she wasn't going to, like, you know, disrespect, like, a 10-year relationship by, like, commenting on this or that. But she also talked about how a lot of people, like, compare her and Kim because they've worn a lot of the same things. But, like, even when Julia was wearing those things, like, she knew Kim had worn them because, like, Kim is an icon. But she was mostly coming from, like, the place of, like, Kim wears a lot of Balenciaga. Like, I wear a lot of Balenciaga. But that's, like, both of us being influenced by Kanye.
Okay. I don't think people really compare her and Kim.
I don't think so either, but I don't know if what I read, like, I don't think I'm reading what everyone else is reading.
Yeah, because...
Do you know what I mean?
I haven't heard that this is, like, a fake relationship, or... And I don't think that anyone is really comparing her and Kim. I think people are very intrigued by this relationship because it's so fast, it's so public, it's so weird. He's, like, posting on Instagram, I want my family back, and then he has a girlfriend, like, he's spotted out with other women. It's bizarre. So I think people are intrigued, but I don't think people are like, you know, who's better, Kim or Julia? Like, it's not a competition.
No, I don't think they're the same at all. And so I wasn't even so curious about how she feels about Kim. And plus, we've heard from on her podcast, like, she is a Kardashian fan. And I don't think she would say anything that's going to get her
in,
like, tripped up or in trouble. She doesn't, like, want to be that person. And considering, like, her and Kanye, it doesn't feel like, you know, are this great big love. It's not like she's needing to be like, well, he's not with Kim anymore and he's with me.
Right. Well, you know what? Like, this is this is like a once in a lifetime thing to happen to some girl, you know? Like, Kanye is that guy. Like, he can make anyone into anything, and he's, you know, has these muses, and those muses go on to do amazing things. So I'm just glad it sounds like she's just, like, here for the ride, for the journey. She, like, knows how crazy it is.
But, like,
and she's living for it.
Yes, and this was the role she was born to play. Like, everything in her life leading up till now is, like, all encompasses what she's doing with Kanye, like, being this, like, out and about girl taking fashion risks. Like, she's not shy. She's not, yeah, no. And she was even talking about how, like, she now people, like, think she's in all these spaces, and, like, she, with all these famous people, and that she is just very much like, I've earned my spot here. Like, even when they were hanging out with Madonna, she was like, I set up that dinner and I invited Kanye.
Got it.
You know, she's not like a rando.
Right, like straggler.
But she is like a very like niche art fashion girly.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Kanye loves. So,
also weird.
The whole thing is so weird. But she told this really funny anecdote that, you remember when she was wearing the eyeshadow mm-hmm. that everyone was like making fun of? Well, she said like there was one time where Kanye wanted to put like a line across her nose to make it look like sunglasses. Yeah. And she was like, no, that's like that's a step too far. I don't want that. But I was thinking about it and I was like, that would actually be so cool.
Well, then it would like make sense, like what yeah, they're like, trying to do.
Like, sunglasses I make up, and also if they did the line like going out mm-hmm. all the way, like I just thought that was a cool idea. And sometimes that's why you gotta let Kanye do his thing,
100%.
And she said that she was like, I should have let him do it.
Okay we respect a queen who knows when she's wrong.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. Maybe I'll try it.
I just think this is like the craziest social experiment.
It is, and I don't know how long it lasts for, neither does she.
Right. Where do we go from here, Jax? Where do we go?
I don't know. It's a crazy time. It's a crazy time for the devolution of Kimye. And then, like, when the Pete of it all, it's just, like, it's a wild time. It's a lot for me.
Do let me know if you want me to come over and help you with your sunglasses made out of eyeshadow, because I would be willing to help. Maybe we'll do it for a Patreon.
When you do my makeup. If you ever do my makeup.
Oh, when that day never comes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Yeah, I'm ready for the next story.
Great. Very sad update. Bob Saget has died due to head trauma. His family confirms 1 month after he was found dead in an Orlando hotel. So we're getting a bit of news and update here. 1 month after the Full House star was found dead on January 9th at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando, Florida, his family confirmed in a statement to People that he died due to head trauma. They said the authorities have determined that Bob passed away from head trauma. They have concluded that he accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. No drugs or alcohol were involved.
So I've actually been like really curious and waiting for a follow-up on Bob Saget, because people had said it was a heart attack, because there was immediately published that there was no foul play, no drug or alcohol abuse. And so where do we go from here? I assumed it was a heart attack. That's what I had read somewhere. And this, like, closing the chapter and having this be the cause of death is like not satiating at all. You know, it's like, it's such a tragedy in the sense mm-hmm. that like, it was so like, these things happen all the time and people don't die.
Yeah, no, like a terrible, terrible accident.
Yeah.
And it breaks the heart to hear that this is how he went.
And it reminds me of Billy Mays.
What happened to him again?
He was on an airplane. If you guys don't know, the OG OxyClean guy, up. He was on an airplane, like taking down an overhead, and got hit in the head with one of the suitcases, thought nothing of it, went home, went to sleep, and never woke up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is like, you have to be really careful when you bump your head, especially if it's like you think maybe you're fine, you have a headache. No, it's like, that's like a really scary thing. And that's why remember when we were kids, it's like you would hit your head, you couldn't go to bed for 30 minutes. Like,
yeah, of course.
It's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, this story is just so sad. I mean,
so terrible.
Still, even it's been like a month and the outpouring of like love and just Bob Saget tributes, like they keep coming in. Mm-hmm. And I hope now just having a cause of death like gives his family some peace. But still, it's like,
I just feel like this is not the cause of death that brings peace. It's like, oh, like, so could have avoided this.
Like, if only this happened. Yeah, exactly.
So sad. And his wife just keeps posting, like, really cute videos of them. And it's just like, it's one of the worst stories ever.
Yeah, agreed.
So just wishing his family, like, love. And I hope this brings him some sort of closure.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story? Some happy news?
If it's happy news, it's brought to you by Boll & Branch.
It is.
No one wants to cut corners on what's important, and few things matter more than a good night's rest. Bull & Branch's signature sheets feel so soft and light, you'll forget you're not actually sleeping on a cloud. And they're sustainably made for uncompromising quality from field to factory. So I don't know if you guys can see behind me, my entire bed is Bull & Branch. I made the decision to go Bull & Branch over a year ago, and I never looked back. Their sheets are the softest organic sheets on the market. They get better with every wash, and comfort isn't their only standard. All of their products are 100% made of sustainable raw materials, and as the first Fair Trade Commission manufacturer of linen, you can feel as good about your Bull & Branch sheets as they feel against your skin. So the product that I have is this signature hemmed sheets from Bull & Branch. It's their bestseller. They're buttery soft organic cotton in a classic sateen weave for sheets that get softer over time. My favorite part is that they're not too hot or too cold. It's the perfect year-round sheets for most sleepers, and they focus on quality over quantity. There's no inflated thread counts here because more isn't always better. They come in beautiful colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they're made to a higher standard. There's nothing worse than a fitted sheet that doesn't fit. So Bull & Branch offers 17 inch deep fitted sheets and labeled sides to help you make your bed beautifully every time. Remember I told you I was having like this journey with me and Ben waking up every morning and our fitted sheet was like in a ball at the bottom of the bed?
Yes.
So the Bull & Branch fitted sheets are just like, they feel custom. It's such a game changer. That doesn't happen anymore. And it was so annoying. We like couldn't figure it out. They also give you a fair price and a 30-day risk-free trial with free shipping and returns. Experience the best sheets you've ever felt at bowlandbranch.com. Get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code TOAST at checkout. That's Bull & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Sounds so good to get into bed right now. You're just speaking
to... I love
to...
bed, you guys know.
You're speaking to me. Okay, our next story, some exciting news. Snoop Dogg is thrilled to be the owner of Death Row Records, the label that launched his career. That is so exciting. The 50-year-old rap icon purchased...
I also read something about Snoop Dogg today.
Oh, okay. So let's do this, and then you want to share?
Yeah, he was sued for alleged sexual assault and battery. So I just figured we should give a full picture of what's going on with Snoop Dogg.
Of Snoop Dogg's day today. Okay. The 50-year-old rap icon purchased Death Row Records from recording and music publishing company MNRK Music Group, which is funded by the investment firm Blackstone. The company's announced in a release on Wednesday. Quote, I'm thrilled and appreciative of the opportunity to acquire the iconic and culturally significant Death Row Records brand, which has immense untapped future value, he said in the release. It feels good to have ownership of the label I was part of at the beginning of my career and is one of the founding members. So that's pretty cool to like have joined a music label when you're starting up and have so much success that you eventually purchase it.
You know, that's like us buying AOL.
Yeah, something like that.
No, that's cool. But there is more news with Snoop Dogg today. So
please share.
A woman alleges that Snoop Dogg and his associate, Bishop Don Magic Juan, sexually assaulted her after a show in 2013. Snoop Dogg denies the claim. So he's being sued for alleged sexual assault of a woman in Anaheim, California in 2013. TMZ's reporting and documents are viewed by Pitchfork to confirm. The woman, who's an actor, model, and dancer identified as Jane Doe, says that she attended a Snoop Dogg concert on May of 29th of that year. And in the lawsuit, Jane Doe alleges that Snoop Dogg's associate, Bishop Don Magic Juan, took her to his home against her will and the following morning removed his penis from his pants, quote, and forced his penis into her mouth. The next day, according to the lawsuit, Juan allegedly took Doe, Jane Doe, to Snoop Dogg's studio, where Snoop Dogg is said to have cornered her in a bathroom stall and forced her into oral sex. Snoop Dogg allegedly, quote, proceeded to masturbate and ejaculate on Jane Doe's upper chest and lower neck. Jane Doe is suing Snoop Dogg for a violation of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act for sexual battery and for sexual assault. In addition to Snoop Dogg and Bishop Don Magic Juan, the lawsuit names the defendants the companies Gerber & Co., The Broadest Collection, Casa Verde Capital, and Mary Jane Events. Snoop Dogg has denied Jane Doe's claims. Pitchfork has emailed his representatives for comments. So, I mean, he's also scheduled to be in the Super Bowl this weekend.
Oh my God,
so
yeah.
I'm curious if everyone's going to, you know, walk the walk when they talk the talk about, you know, Me Too and Time's Up and stuff.
Right. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Wow, that is wild.
Yeah, that is wild. I thought that was the story you were bringing up and I was like, oh, never mind.
No, I had seen like so much news about like how just monumental it is that he's buying this record company that he
started at.
Got his start at. But
No, I mean, that would have been a nice story if it weren't for the other story I saw, I think, this morning.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's a really kind of graphic story that she tells. So, very curious to see what, if anything, happens.
Yeah. Agreed. Oh, wow. And how it affects the Super Bowl this weekend, which I forgot was this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I can't watch. I have a show. And I really do, like, love the Super Bowl just because, like, I love the commercials and I love the food. But we're going to be having fun in Boston drinking spritzes. So, like, I guess it's okay.
That is okay. And we're not going to be able to recap the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. That's really so sad. Like, that's so us, you know?
I know. Like, how will you guys know who won the Super Bowl if we don't do the toast on Monday morning?
I don't know.
Damn. Who do you think it's going to be?
Who's it against?
Rams versus Bengals. We're rooting for the Bengals.
For the Bengals, but I think it's going to be the Rams.
That's what I said, too.
But, and you also, know, you know, ever since we were, like, just... We were talking about, like, nice things that, you know... things we've heard about different players, but of course every player has a story and a journey. And when we were talking about the Rams and all these different teams, I got so many messages about different players on both teams. So both teams are filled with really good people who want to win, but there actually is a crazy story about the quarterback for the Rams. So he and his wife have, like, been together since college. They're so cute. Kelly, she's a podcaster.
Yes, I meant to bring this up because you kind of slammed him the last time we talked about him.
I didn't slam him. I don't know him.
You slammed him, like, incredibly. You went hard against Matthew Stafford. I don't know. I forget. But it was like, and I forgot in that moment that he is married to Kelly and she has a podcast and they live in
Calabasas.
Hills,
yeah.
And she, like, apparently spills, like, so much, like, fun tea about life there. And people just love them. And, that's a point in the Rams column.
I know, and I believe she went through, like, a really difficult time with a brain tumor, and they were just, like, the beacon of hope for each other. So I think he is, like, you know, that guy, and I think they are that couple for a reason.
Okay, so either way...
We all win.
We all win. I agree. We all win.
We all win because Jackson Mahomes is not at the Super Bowl. And neither is Austin.
Well, you never know. Austin could show up. It is L.A.
Maybe they'll take Snoop Dogg out of the halftime show and put in Austin.
Perhaps.
I don't even want to know what it's like on the ground in L.A. this weekend, like, trying to get to tickets. Like, every thirst monster on the planet running.
Even at, like, the restaurants, clubs, et cetera. Like, if everyone is in L.A. this weekend, like, the traffic.
The traffic.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am. And I'm not going to sing today. I've sung 2 days in a row. I think it's enough.
Don't push your luck.
Don't push my voice.
You have to sing tomorrow. For the final story.
I'm preparing an arrangement of sorts.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, this fifth and final story is, like, really, it's pretty disturbing. Patrick Wilson, who we love, Morning Glory.
I will not. I heard this story. This man has been, like, one of my celebrity crushes for years.
Until now.
And now the thought of coming close to him makes me want to puke.
Patrick Wilson is shocking the world with his canine confession. He says, quote, "I've eaten dog poop."
I feel like he, like, said this and expected people to be like, oh, yeah, that happened to me one time, too. Like, it's a dog owner thing. And everyone's just like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, no, he thought it was, like, toast secret. And yeah, it's not like that. We're all like, no.
You know when people, like, they confess something, like, you know, like, I kind of like the smell of my own farts. And a couple other people are like, yeah, me too. It's like a human thing. I think he thought that's what was going to happen here. And absolutely nobody corroborated his story.
No, it's like that scene in Mean Girls where they're all admitting stuff and they all catch each other. And then, like, you go a hair too far and you fall on your back. And that's Patrick Wilson.
Yes.
So he was interviewed by Empire Magazine and they asked him, what's the worst thing you've put in your mouth? And he said, quote, "It's probably dog shit. I'm sure in my quest to pick up dog crap that I've licked the bag to open the bag. And then it's on my hand and I have dog shit in there, too." And then when asked about his least favorite smell, he also brought up his beloved canines. He said, "You're talking to a guy that spends a good portion of the week cleaning up dog shit in his yard. But I'm sort of immune to that now."
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of dogs. It seems as though he has three dogs.
And they managed to raise those dogs all their lives without ever eating their duty.
Yeah, or even, like, thinking about, like, did I accidentally eat duty? No.
Oof, this sounds like a chill down my spine.
Also, the idea of like licking your finger to open the bag, like I'll stand there
never.
For 5 minutes. It takes forever to open that bag. I have time. I have time.
Today I have the time.
It never even occurred to me to lick it.
That is so twisted and disgusting. And I'm going to ask the question. I think I know the answer, but like, does anyone relate to this? Has anyone experienced something similar? Or are we the outliers here? Because this is twisted.
It is so twisted. Shit. It reminds me of that scene in Succession, sort of, when cousin Greg is taking like snacks from the office in a poop bag. And Tom is like, that's a poop bag. And it's like, well, it's a bag for poop, but it's not like there's no poop in it yet.
But there still, might be.
It's meant for poop. Plus, don't the manufacturers put like poop chemicals on it so that, you know, to conceal the smell? They're not just like, well, I guess there could be some bags that are scented, some that are just like plastic bags.
I guess, but like if I was feeling really sick, like I was going to vomit and I had to either vomit in my hands or open up one of Theo's duty bags and vomit in it, like I think I'd vomit in my hands.
Of course.
Yeah, duty bags are just reserved for duty.
Wait, duty bags with a duty in it or not?
No.
Oh, without a duty in it, I would rather vomit in the duty
bag. To me, it's just not a plastic bag. I can't explain it. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah, me neither. This is a lot of duty combo. We always take it back to duty. And
I mean, I'm all for celebrities like being authentic and upfront and honest, but I do feel like there is a line. And I want to say, I think that Patrick Wilson crossed the line.
I think so too.
And I don't know if you can uncross a line.
And especially because this isn't a man who makes news a lot. Like, he's in some good movies.
He's it's a not real, like, he's a Judy Greer. Like, he's in everything, but, like, no one really knows him.
He's in it, like, for the, he's, like, an actor. He's not a celebrity, really. So, it's not like we see headlines about him every day that'll wash us down the news cycle. Like, this is going to be the top of his Google search for a while, and it's going to be the thing that people associate with him. Like, I didn't know anything about this man's personal life until this, and now it's the only thing that I know. And I wish I could unknow it.
And that's something he's going to have to live with, the consequences of his actions.
Yeah, I guess considering, like, no one's ever really, like, cared so much, I'm sure he's shocked that this is getting so much
so
play.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Beyond.
Well, those are the Fast Five stories. I feel as though you needed to know them. And now we can launch into our TV recap because Real Housewives of Orange County was on last night. Pretty good episode. I'm looking forward to your thoughts.
Yes, the TV recap is brought to you by Movement Watches. Valentine's Day is already around the corner, and we know that finding the right gift can be stressful. That's why our friends over at Movement Watches have already done the hard work for you with a huge site-wide sale. Movement is a Valentine's Day favorite with timeless watches, 18-carat fine jewelry pieces, and special edition styles like rare ceramic watches and bracelets. You can save on these gifts right now. Just choose a watch and a matching accessory and get an immediate 20% off your order, plus free shipping and returns always. Enjoy a stress-free Valentine's Day by curating the perfect watch and accessory for a special discount, all in one and done. Gifting made easy. Shop 20% off with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/toast. Go to movement.com/toast for your most stress-free Valentine's Day gift yet. And Movement is spelled MVMT. So it's MVMT.com/toast for the 20% off with free shipping and free returns. Movement, style shouldn't break the bank. Join the movement. Okay, Real Housewives of Orange County, we finished up in Mexico. Noella was just, like, on one. I couldn't even, like, look her. She was being so annoying. And when the women get back to Newark, there's a bunch of, like, really cute activities. And I thought that the night on Shannon's boat and the hibachi, like, looked like such a fabulous get-together.
No, it looked so nice. I was sad that Gina wasn't there because that was, like, what the evening needed. And I'm sure she was, like, busy or something. But her absence was
The boat wasn't that big. I actually don't think she could have been invited.
But I guess, but then I guess Shannon wanted to invite Heather because, like, they need to, you know, move forward in their relationship. And Emily and Shane, when I saw Shannon open the door for Emily and Shane and, like, Shannon and Shane hugged, I was like, how do these people know each other?
I thought the same thing. And if you look, Shannon didn't even, like, fully put her arm around Shane. She, like, hovered over his back with her hand. I thought, this is so weird.
I thought the same thing. I was like, what do these two people talk about? I don't think that they do. But no, the evening was so beautiful. Like, activities-wise, it was beautifully planned. It was hysterical. Like, the boat and Shannon being, you know, the coxswain. And then they had hibachi, which I know is, like, your dream. But I also thought the conversation at the table was just, like, good, deep, meaningful conversations.
Where adult.
People are adult. Like, people are are sharing, people are being open. It's like not surface level. And I was just like, this sounds like this is, you know, goal, like 40 something year old goals to have an evening like that of like, you know, good fun, good food and good convo.
I completely agree. I also thought, I feel like every time I see Terry and Heather like out of their comfort zone, like not at their house on their terms, I just feel like awkward. I can't explain it.
It's like a dog walking on its hind legs.
On its hind legs. It's like you just never know, out of school.
You never know how they're going to behave. And even when she like came on the boat and like, I was like, what is she going to drink from this boat? And there was champagne. I was like, phew, okay, we're covered.
Thank
like,
God.
I agree. It's very funny to see them out of their element because they, you know, everything is so controlled with them.
With them, yeah. And also, I think part of the reason why she didn't invite Gina is because, and we talk about this next week, like, it's clear that Shannon is, like, very threatened by Heather's relationship with Gina. And, like, when she finds out they're going to New York together next week, she, like, starts to cry at lunch. So I have to assume that was, like, some sort of reasoning.
Yeah, I love Heather's friendship with Gina, and I understand what she's saying about it's just, like, easy to get along with her. And I feel like people feel that way about other people, and the issue with Housewives is so often you don't feel that, and you're, like, trying to, like, force these connections that aren't there. But when two people just hit it off, and you don't have to, like, question what someone is saying, like, every single thing that they say, it's like, are you saying this to hurt me? Like, what is your motive? It's just, like, nice to click with someone and not have to, like, constantly look over your shoulder.
I also love that they went back to the quiet woman and they referenced the evening. The owner was like, we'll get you a paper plate. Like, that is a gorgeous bistro. I would love to go.
Yeah, no, the food sounded so good. Like, the mussels with whatever sauce. I'll have a heaping pile of those as well.
Yeah, it was just like a fun evening. Noella obviously had to ruin it just like by being herself, which was sad. But like, I don't know. She's just like really bothering me. And I'm having a hard time, like, giving her my sympathies. You know, like, in Housewives, if someone's going through a really hard time, like, you really feel like we gave Shannon a pass for a while. Teresa gets a pass all the time. And I don't know, like, she's just so not making herself sympathetic.
Yeah, no, I don't have sympathy. First of all, those women got, you know, sympathy because, like, we knew them before. We went through this with them, and we wanted to see them come out the other side. Like, we don't know Noella from Adam. So for you to show up with all of this baggage and the way that she's handling so much of it is just so deranged. Yeah. Even the thing with, like, the stack of vaginas, which was just so bizarre. So Emily says, Jen told us you got a stack of vaginas for your wedding, and Noella is like, why doesn't Jen talk about her own life? First of all, that's all she's doing.
Why'd you tell Jen
that?
She's
like, and it's not like it's something that you told Jen in confidence because you guys like aren't even friends. And I didn't think it was weird that Jen shared that with the other girls. That's like not it didn't sound like a secret. The two of you don't have secrets. You're not even close. So like if it's something that you tell Jen, then it's something that Emily and Shannon can know. And then when Shannon's like, how does it make you feel that Jen told us this? It's like, what are you, reaching. producer plant?
Literally,
it was too heavy-handed, and also the stack of vaginas thing was just like so bizarre.
It's just like not funny. Like, I don't know. I just find nothing Noella does to be like funny or quirky or like cute. I'm not buying whatever it is that Noella is selling, and she's just really starting to annoy me.
Yeah, no, she's been annoying me, and she continues to.
But her looks are just top tier looks. The glam, the hair, everything. It's top housewife glam.
It really is. And even when she's like not in glam, she's always perfection. Stunning. It is. Yeah. It's true. It's a beautiful thing to behold.
It counts for a lot.
It does.
And then the weirdest part and kind of the climax was of the episode was after, you know, Jen got some good wedding advice, marriage advice from Heather. She decided to ambush her husband on camera. And I think like the fact that he did say it and it wasn't aired, but the fact that like, no mention of the camera obviously makes Ryan look like a prick, but I think this is probably a conversation they really need to have as a couple, and having it on camera for the first time is no place to do it.
Not at all. And I actually felt like in the beginning when she sat down with him, like he was kind of being a team player. She was like, you say this, but I need you to say more than that. Like tell me more about how my day was good and productive. And he like sat there like a child, like trying to answer the question correctly. And like he
I didn't think he was being facetious. I think he was just like doing as he was told. He was being like, he was obeying.
Yeah. And then I think he got to his wits end. He's like, I'm not doing this on camera, because it's pretty awkward. And also, like, when Jen describes their situation to Heather, I get it. And I get that they're neither of them feel appreciated. They've both made sacrifices. They're both envious of what the other has. She wants to be home more, like he wants to be out more, etc. But then when she sat him down and like tried to explain the issues to him, I was like, this feels like a reach. You know,
yeah, I just didn't see, she wasn't aligning the problem she told Heather to the problem she told Ryan. Which is it? Like, do you not feel appreciated, or do you guys just have like a dynamic you need to work out? Because that's what you told Heather.
I think it's like this. It's like she doesn't feel appreciated, so she tells Ryan she doesn't feel appreciated, and he says, I appreciate you. And then she just doesn't like feel it. And like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you could say all the right things, but it's just like they're not connected. And so, yeah, and that's not something that's going to be achieved
on camera.
And also, like, I felt a little bit, you know, like with the, like, she might have been a little tipsy and the conversation was just going fucking nowhere.
I just like wasn't rooting for her when, up until recently, I didn't love her in the beginning, but with every episode, I'm like, you know, she's growing on me. She's like actually smart, and I like her relationship with Heather. And then like she sat down with her husband and I'm like, shut up. Like, I just wasn't rooting for her at all.
And especially after last week when she was crying in the gym and like, I was crying in the gym.
I was so here for her.
I was ready for her to come home and talk to Ryan and put him in his place. But then, like, I'm neither Team Jen nor Ryan. So it was very confusing to me to feel, like, so sympathetic towards her and then be like, wait, why are we crying again?
Agreed. And she continued that, like, chaotic, messy nature on Watch What Happens Live last night.
I had to call you immediately because I just watched the first few minutes just Same. To see what she was about and to see how she like came off on Watch What Happens Live, because ever since Larsa, I just realized it's such a great audition. I could fall in love with a mm-hmm. housewife. And I was so physically uncomfortable with my cringe mm-hmm. that I had to call you. And like, it was, I don't think I watched more than 5 minutes, but Same. It was so painful. Painful.
She was just like speaking gibberish. Like, Annie would ask her a question. She was just like, she was saying English words, but they did not have any meaning. Like, they were just like, blah, 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 blah. Like, what?
No.
Because Andy's question was valid. Like, how much of your argument with your husband had to do with the fact that he didn't want to do it on camera, not that he didn't want to do it at all? And she's like, well, blee, blah, do da dee da do, dee da do da dee da ta do, peepa, do da do. So I was like, what?
I didn't even make it to that question. The only questions I heard were, why is his name Ryan when it's Ryan?
And oh, and she, you know, like, what her answer was? Pita tura, pipa parupa, pita tura te, tataru.
This was literally her answer. She's like, when I met him, his name was Ryan. Then he told me his name was Ryan. And when we would meet other people and he would say Ryan. And I was like, where is the A? What? Like, so what? It
doesn't answer the question. What the fuck is his name?
Right. And then the other question that was asked was about the stack of vaginas. And it was clear
she was trying to be funny. That's what
she was trying to
clear.
Be funny. And that she hadn't watched the episode because she was like, well, what does that even look like? Which was what we were all wondering until right. we saw the fucking picture. And she was like, is it horizontal? Is it vertical? And it's like, watch the episode.
Oh, I didn't think that maybe she hadn't seen the episode. Because, yeah, like, I was curious, yeah, what's a stack of vaginas look like, too? And then I saw the picture. I'm like, oh, look, there's a stack of vaginas. So I had no more questions after that about what it looked like. And she was like, is it, like, side, side, side? Like, stack, stack, stack? Or, like, a deck of cards? Like, you shuffle the vagina? Like, she was just not being funny. Like, and it was bothering me. And I did turn it off right after that also. I literally turned it off when she was like, is it like this, this, this?
That's like, when I called you.
Yeah, and that's when I had just turned it off and went to bed.
I'm literally dying.
So it was just not a good week for Dr. Jen.
No, it really wasn't. And I don't think the episode like got much better at all. Also, I wanted to say one more thing, which was when Noella was like to Gina, like, I'm wearing my leopard, like, jersey. And Gina in her confessional was like, I'm not from Jersey.
I'm not from Jersey.
Yeah, no, like,
that was,
that's
like, rude.
It was very rude. It's like, you literally don't even listen to me.
Leopard is like a really unique pattern. And when someone's like, I'm wearing leopard for you, that's like, it can be insulting.
It can
not be. Everyone can pull off leopard.
No, and it just depends on the person, really. Like, some people are just, like, animal print people. I actually would think that, like,
Lisa Rinna.
Yeah.
She loves leopard.
Yeah. Even I feel like Heather Dubrow likes leopard.
I've actually never worn leopard in my life, I don't think.
I'm not a leopard girly, but you can't be everything, you know?
No, you can't. And you already are so many things.
I'm so many things. I'm, like, so pleany, like, this, that. I can't also be, like, animal prints.
So what did you think of the Gilded Age?
Oh my God, it's so just stunning, and I'm really enjoying it. Still has the community theater theatrics happening a little bit, like with the staging, but it's okay. They'll find their groove. Also, I feel like some of the sets, like, they're just so big, they're a little bit like cavernous. You know, it's not like an intimate, it's not like the kitchen at Downton where we're like all cozy up. It's like a big fake kitchen. But I think that's also like the sign of the times. They were building these enormous, like,
huge
cavernous homes, and that's how it felt. So I'm loving the show. I'm loving the cast of characters. I mean, the plot twist with the Morrises and the Fanes.
Suicide.
Yeah, was just really crazy. If only, like,
Mr. Fane is very handsome.
I know. And then I didn't even realize that, like, that their wives are so different in age that, like, they have different aged husbands.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I didn't realize that either because he was really young. I thought he was someone's secretary.
Me too. I was like, who's handsome here?
Yeah, he's up and coming.
Yeah. Is it her son, maybe?
So obviously, Mr. Russell was going to save those guys, right? The alderman?
I think he was going to make a deal with them. Yeah, because also, does he even... Was that always his plan, to like push them to the edge so that they came to the table?
Embarrass them, like the way that they embarrassed him and his wife.
Yeah.
An eye for an eye, bitch.
Or if he took this all the way, like, does he have a bigger plan?
Well, if he took it all the way, owning all the shares that he bought while the company was down, like, he would then be like he would be a publicly owned company where he owns a majority of like, he would be a billion beyond billionaire, right?
Yeah, but not if there's no station. So right. He, like, did need the alderman to come around.
Yeah.
So it was, like, sad the way that it ended up, especially considering he's, like, going to have mercy on them. Or is he? I don't know. Next week,
I think he is, but, like, is the town... Like, they... So they are now in a position of power, the Russells. But when everyone finds out that Mr. Morris committed suicide because of Mr. Russell, like, are they going to hate the Russells and then they're going to be outcasts again? Or are people going to fear them and then respect them, you know?
Yeah. I imagine it's a little bit of both, because still, like, the Fanes and all those other men, like... They do need Russell to come around, so I don't know how far they'll push him out.
Yeah. Girl across the street, Marion Brooke, she's a bit of a pain in the ass.
I like her. I do like
the dynamics inside her home, like with her aunts, and I just find it all very interesting. But she herself, I'm like, shut up. Like, she's just annoying me.
Oh, I think she's cute. I agree. I love the aunties, and like to see that aunt... Agnes is, you know, because she's so like looking annoying out. And mean, but she's also clearly like looking out, and it's like, who is the Dowager Countess in this show? I don't know yet. It also could be Mrs. Astor, who was like here for Mr. Russell sort causing a scene at the bazaar.
No one is the Dowager yet. I have yet to meet anyone who's even remotely funny.
No, me too. Or just as wise. Like, everything you say is, like, on point. I think Agnes is, like, completely... She's way too in the past.
Yeah. See, the Dowager was actually
she's
very
like wrong about a lot of stuff.
No, but she was, like, stubborn. Yeah, Agnes is wrong about a lot of stuff. Yeah, I agree. And the thing with the Dowager, she was always right. And even though everyone thought she was, like, so old and conservative, she was a forward thinker.
Yeah, no, and she had, like, it was a blend of both. She wasn't just, like, dogmatic and just chose the old way just because.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's crazy, there's only three episodes, so I like it. I do. It definitely grows on you. I hate watching episode by episode, but the episodes at least are long enough. It's like watching a movie.
Definitely. And Brew loves pumpkin. I can't even tell you. Has Theo said anything about him?
Yeah, he said...
It's just so stinking cute. What's crazy is that, if you think about it, this show and the show 1883 take place in the literal same exact time, and, like, they're so different. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm.
Because New York was a bustling metropolis.
And, like, they're going out west, but it's like, look at how they're living and look at how they're living.
That's true. Wow, you're such a history girly.
Yeah, and it's crazy that we're getting, like, these American history shows at the exact same time.
Yeah.
When it rains, it pours.
Okay, well, that's really all I have to say today. I'm wearing so much makeup. It's starting to itch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I keep, like, futzing. If you're watching on YouTube, I've been futzing with my face the whole fucking episode. It's so itchy. But I have an event to go to tonight for everyone who's coming to the Spritz Society X Locks Club event. Should I leave my makeup on? It'll be 12 hours. I'm thinking maybe just taking my skin off and keeping my eyes.
That's a good idea, but definitely leave some of it on, if not all of it, because you look so stunning and you're going to a party. And thank you.
I'm just so itchy. Like, I'm dying to scratch my face.
Okay, take off your face. Take off your face. You do a nice face anyway.
Maybe. That is the nicest thing you've ever said. So tomorrow is your final episode.
It is.
And I just feel like we should wait till tomorrow to talk about it. Like, you know, like, let's not talk about sad things.
No, I know. But whenever it's like the final day, I actually like forget to talk about it. So it's like, because I was thinking about it this morning, I was like, better to share today as opposed to tomorrow when like I'll literally forget. And then I won't say, I'll never have like acknowledged the space that we were in.
That I understand. That I do.
Like, I was just feeling it more today than I probably will be tomorrow, is all.
I understand now. The reason okay. for the season. Well, that's our show, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing Thursday. And we'll see you tomorrow for Friday. It's Jackie's last Friday. Goodbye.
Bye. Love ya.